They've got weapons, man. They've got weapons. And I think this offense is slowly starting to crank up, man. And so, yeah, Juwan Jennings, I think this guy coming along here, getting the 88 yards yesterday, they just haven't had this in a while.
Did you think they were trying to force some stuff, Brock and Kyle, to Ayuk yesterday?
No, I don't. I don't.
You think
I
thought it was all natural?
I think it was all natural. So I was listening to Kyle last week. Because obviously we're going to get to Brandon Ayuk. When people say 2 for 48, they're going to say, why'd you pay up $30 million? He only had 2 for 48. Well, it seemed like they were spreading the ball all around. Juwan Jennings had the most targets with 6. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel have 5 targets. Kittle have 4 targets. Mason had 3. Colley had 2. Juszczyk had 1. So nobody was force-fed necessarily yesterday. Kyle mentioned last week that he believed Ayuk had his best game against Minnesota. Now, Tarnick and I were like, huh? What is he talking about? But this is why the coaches know a lot. They watch the film over and over and over again. They got data that we're not privy to. And he mentioned how Brock, yeah, Brandon Ayuk broke open that Minnesota game. They didn't hit him. He was missed. The quarterback didn't see him. And then Kyle mentioned that, look, we're not going to force feed anybody. We just want to hit the open man. Our offense isn't designed to say, hey, give this guy 12 targets, give this guy 10 targets, give this guy 8 targets. Our offense is designed to hit the open man. Okay, that's fair. But if that's the case, and your money allocation at the wide receiver position, and you have a quarterback in Brock Purdy, I don't know. But I think Brandon Ayuk's going to come along here. It's just a very interesting dynamic in a way. A very different offensive philosophy that Kyle Shanahan, because like you look at McVay and Puka and Cooper Kupp, it seems like they get force fed, right? They're going to get their targets no matter what.
But that's that offense.
That's that offense.
Which I mean, look, we're nitpicking here in a big win, but like the reality is, and we were talking about it all offseason. It's like there is no number one in Kyle's system. If we're going to run Kyle's system, and that's a system. The number one receiver is the open guy on a given play, whether that's tight end, running back, whether that's wide receiver, whatever. It's not smart business to pay $60 million to 2 wide receivers. Yep. But essentially Kyle operates with Deebo as his one. That's the way he views it. And so I just think it's going to be an uphill battle for Brandon Ayuk every single week in a lot of fans' minds to justify the money, fair or not. I just think it's going to be really difficult for him to come out because they never really target him like 12, 13. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's not what they do. You know, like one of my bugaboos, and they had a third down situation, and they showed it later in the game where they alley-ooped it to George Kittle. But like they have red zone issues right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that we all can acknowledge when you play Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Chiefs in the coming 4 weeks, if you stall out and continue to kick field goals in the red zone, you're probably not going to win a lot of those games. One of the things that they can do is split George Kittle out wide, put everyone else on the other side, and operate like he's Antonio Gates, Mike Evans, Gronkowski. He's a 6'4", 6'5", guy who is a matchup nightmare. You saw him high point a ball in the red zone yesterday. I don't for the life of me understand why they don't do matchups in the red zone. You see a lot of scheme and they do a lot of rollouts and they try to do misdirection and maybe hide things. And it works when you have Christian McCaffrey. But when you don't have Christian McCaffrey, to me, you have to work the matchups a little more in the red zone. And that's the one area, if I'm really like going to scrutinize, it's like you saw Kittle high point the ball. He can do that. And I didn't even think that was a really well-designed play or anything. He just made a great play, one of the best plays of his career. Roll him out to the left, have him on one side, everybody else on the other, and I'm either going to run a slant against a smaller guy and I'm going to box him out, or I'm going to throw it up to him and he's just going to jump over somebody. Kittle is the guy, to me, that is a matchup nightmare. Jennings is another guy that I think you can use in the red zone.
Yeah.
I don't think Ayuk is going to be the guy for those situations, but you saw in the play-action play, he can gash it down the field.
The whole high-pointing and isolating, this is something we discussed for like over 5 years in terms of like George Kittle, because with the image, I know that comes to your head. I know where you're coming from, because when we saw Gronk on Bobby Wagner in the Super Bowl, isolated one-on-one, and it was like, wow. And then we saw Antonio Gates for many, many years with Phillip Rivers down in San Diego, isolated one-on-one, go run a fade, go run a slant, go get your money, player. Tony Gonzalez, He was probably the start of it, where you saw Tony Gonzalez. I remember a Candlestick game where the Chiefs came into Candlestick Park and they held Tony Gonzalez with one catch at 7 yards. It was Julian Peterson manning up on Tony Gonzalez. But over and over in that football game, they isolated Tony Gonzalez, trips right, Tony Gonzalez on the side to the left by himself, one-on-one. Now if the safety wants to come over, you know, the double team's coming. They're going to bracket him. But, yeah, I will. We've been asking for this for a long time. It's just not Kyle's. Not in Kyle's system.
But I think this is where the evolution needs to come.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And I would also say that when you have Brock, I trust his decision-making significantly more than prior quarterback versions that they've had. And it's like, I think you need to go in that direction. Who throws a more catchable lob ball than him? It's a low percentage play just to begin with, but I also trust him on the quick slants.
Well, Juwan Jennings may become that guy.
He
may become that guy because he's a big body wide receiver, a guy they haven't had in a very long time, but that's something they would do. Now, when it comes to Brandon Ayuk, obviously they wanted to get him involved. Brock Purdy didn't see the double team on the interception. They had Brandon Ayuk early. Brock Purdy didn't pull the trigger on that play, and then Jabril Peppers over the top. So, look, they force fed that one. They force fed that one. That was a bad decision by Brock Purdy. He forced the ball into double coverage there. So, Brandon Ayuk, look, everybody's going to get on him. Now, what we didn't touch on was Shortskate Friday, which is very, very bizarre, very, very strange.
Can I opt out of that conversation?
Why?
Because I just think it's just,
Shortskate?
Look, it's pretty simple to me.
You don't have an opt-out bill in your contract. Farhan didn't negotiate it, sorry.
Like, it's pretty simple to me. I know we got people calling. Parag, I'm fired up. Here's my thing. Like, wear the right color shorts. Like, if everyone's wearing one, just wear the right color shorts. I'm not gonna analyze kicking the other pair of shorts. I almost feel like after that win, the last thing I want to do is go back 3 days prior talk about the color of someone's shorts. Over it.
Oh, man. That Brooke Durham-Willard and Diz, boy. Oh, my gosh. What a field day that was for them. It was like,
I'm opting out. It's pretty simple. Just wear the uniform. It's whatever it is, just wear it.
For a second, I thought he was going to get punished, but he didn't. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG FM and HD1 San Francisco Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. I will ask Baldy about that tomorrow, though. What's the weirdest thing you see in practice? Have you seen anything like that in practice?
What's going on?
The guy, the way he kicked the shorts off, it's like, Brandon, come on, man.
Look, all right, I went to private schools, and you had to wear your sweater and your tie on game day, and there was like certain uniforms you had to wear.
Right.
Like, the uniform is there for a reason. It's pretty simple, and I'm not arguing it. It's just wear what everyone else is wearing.
Keith and Barry out of Georgia. What's up, Keith?
Hopefully
you're fine in Georgia, man. Keith, hopefully you're not a bulldog. That's a tough loss down there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Nah, bro. I'm from Northern California. My dad was stationed at Travis Air Force Base. That's how I became a Niner fan.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Travis right up the road here, about 2 hours away.
Bang, bang, Niner gang. I just want to say we're not dead. This feels like a tough season that's coming versus last year where I thought we were the favorites throughout the year. I thought that was our year. I'm an 80s baby, so I became a Niner fan in 88 through 94. I had a great childhood winning all the Super Bowls. But I think this can be like an Eli Manning type of year, if that makes sense, where like you're 9-7, 11-6, 10-whatever, and then you just get the job done. I have faith in Brock Purdy. Like, I think we're going to have to pay him and all that, but I think he's the guy for our franchise. And I just think going forward that's what it's going to be. And I don't know. That's just where I'm at, guys. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Nah, Keith, you know what? I'm okay with Brock Purdy getting paid. And I don't worry about, you may lose this guy, you may lose that guy. Well, I have Brock Purdy. And I'm stabilizing the most important position in all of North American sport, which is the quarterback position. And I could build around Brock. It's obvious, you could build around Brock. Last week we saw it against the Rams team where no Debo, no Kittle, he was just fine. All right, this week he has a full complement of weapons. He's trying to figure out where to get the ball to. He's got so many playmakers. Paying Brock Purdy the money, I don't worry about it anymore. I really don't. You will be able to draft and develop, and guys around the league will say, you know what, I want to go sign up and play with that guy.
We're winning a lot of games. We're throwing up great, you know, points and yards and stats and all those things. New England they just drafted Drake May, number three overall. They're praying to God he's as competent as Brock Purdy. Are they not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we'll see. Like, we'll see if he is, right? And, like, so I think you could do a lot worse than this young man. And clearly he's got the right demeanor.
Yeah.
I think he's a winner. You know, staying healthy is the number one thing for him, right? And that's why in a game like yesterday where he's running around, I'm saying, all right, pass protection's got to shore itself up a little better. And also, just a little tiny nitpick is I just want to see him when a play is dead,
right.
just live to see another down. Not all the time, because I do love when he runs around.
Well, yeah.
But there are times where he took a shot to the back, and I'm saying, hey, dude, live to fight another down. It's okay. Look, it's okay.
It's pro football. You're going to get hit,
no,
right?
No, I know.
Josh Allen, Lamar, Joe Burrow, Mahomes, they all extend
the
plays.
But you got to protect yourself.
You do have to protect yourself, and he's getting better. But you're going to get hit from time to time, and you can't do anything about that. Here's Brock Purdy, before we take a break, asked about taking a lot of deep shots yesterday.
I mean, that's the case for every game, is we're ready for if they present a certain coverage, then we have, you know, a shot or an opportunity ready, and we just got to execute and capitalize on them. And so for this game, there was a couple plays where, you know, their safeties were low, and when we had guys going deep with Debo and JJ, and so for me, we talked about it on the sideline, and I was sort of aggressive to seeing that and let it rip and trust those guys to get under it and make plays, and that's what they did. So it was nice to be able to connect on, you know, those deeper routes and stuff like that and put that on tape and give us all some confidence moving forward with the deep ball.
You know, there's not a lot. Obviously, there's a lot of sloppiness yesterday against the Patriots, but you get the win. You love Fred Warner. You love the way Bosa got after the quarterback late in the game, and he forced a fumble, which is what we want to see around here. And you didn't hear the secondary's name called much. Patriots are a bad football team. But I got to say, waking up this morning and then watching the game yesterday, it sure is refreshing to know that the team you root for has a quarterback. I mean, it's straight up. I mean, the Niners have a quarterback. We don't have to worry about a quarterback. We don't have to worry about the position anymore.
Watching football yesterday made me realize when you don't have that guy, you're pretty hopeless.
You're hopeless.
And I look at like a Washington Commander fan this morning, and they're saying to themselves, we think we have a guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The amount of hope they have is now through the roof.
Craig Hoffman, who does he works at our sister station out there in D.C., he's texting with him. He goes, the feeling out here in D.C., we've never been this alive. We haven't been this alive in over a decade. They've got a quarterback. But the Niners do, too. And it feels pretty damn good. Will and Marin, many on the Dumbarton Bridge. We'll get to everybody here. 888-957-9570. Plus, you want to listen around 7:30 because we will be giving away something special because Red and Gold won. That's all coming up. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Of the offense, and Brock Purdy, who's looking long, he runs Debo Samuel, and he's got him in stride inside the 20 on a gain of 55.
Hey, y'all, this is your man. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Joe Davis on the call from Fox Sports. What up, Zucci, man? I saw that he stopped by Freebie Supplies where Spadoni and Loveman were holding it down. Good job by those two guys Saturday afternoon. What up, Zucci? Look, that was a big-time play right there. Joe Davis and Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's such a good broadcaster.
He's awesome.
And Brady right now feels forced. Everything feels forced. It's just, I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll say it. Like, and I love Brady. But Brady, like, bro, stop manicuring everything you say. You can't think about what you say before you say it, or it sounds awful. And so, like, Brady, just call it what it is, bro. Like, he doesn't want to rip anybody. He doesn't want to critique anything.
Well, he can't go into meetings, right? He can't go into production meetings right now, which I think hurts him.
He just doesn't sound authentic, right. Authentically himself.
Well, the ownership part of it with the Raiders, it hurts him not going to those pre-production meetings. Pre-production meetings are tough. Like, they find a lot of things out in those meetings, whether it's Mark Sanchez, whether it's Greg Olsen. By the way, Sanchez is on the Bears-Rams game. He's funny. He is.
Man bun, Mark.
One thing we didn't play because we were so irate about the Rams game, on the lateral, the final play of the game, did you hear what he was saying during the play?
No.
Did you hear it? Find a play from Fox Spadoni. I want to play.
Go back a week ago.
Because it was just hilarious. I was like, what did he say?
Well, what did he say?
When you hear it,
okay,
you'll know. I don't even want to botch it. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's go to Will and Marin.
Hi, Will and Marin.
What's going on, Will?
What a Niner win.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. No, it was awesome. Looked great. I think the best part about it was is that Purdy just looks like he's having fun, man. He's just out there ripping it. Fred Warner looked awesome. That was such a sick pick six. He really looks fired up. And I think what's happening with IU, because I'm not really worried about it. Like, I know that people are probably tripping over paying the money because they're expecting it. Well, he made the irresponsible thing and he sat out. And he is, in fact, like you guys were talking about in September, he is unfortunately having his preseason right now. Like, I do not think this is the Brandon Ayuk that the Niners will have all season. I think he's going to get better. But, damn, it's been fun watching JJ getting it in. So I just think that, you know, they are, like you were saying, they're finding their stride. They're looking a lot better. It looks like, you know, the defense is starting to tamper down. They're all just starting. Maybe it was just a slow start. And you know what? I've kind of realized the last few seasons when the Niners have gone on a little losing streak, they got punched in the mouth. They kind of take business more seriously and they do better. So hopefully they could just turn this win into a nice little momentum thing and it looked good. And another thing that you were talking about, Bonte, I don't want Kittle on an ISO. That's not his game. My favorite play is when he comes up and chips a D-end and then cuts loose that little two-yard slant and just comes across the middle and punishes people as a ball carrier. That's how I want to use Kittle, because Kittle punishes people, either if he's blocking or running with the ball. That dude's the Incredible Hulk with a mullet. He's a savage.
When you're jammed up against the red zone, right, when the area is a lot smaller, like having some space to operate and be a matchup nightmare, to me, it matters. Like, and this is the analogy I would use. Like, Steve Kerr's passing system for the Warriors is excellent. Then you get into the playoffs, right, you get into specific moments, and it's like, yo, you got KD. Run a high pick and roll. ISO, get out of the way. You know what I mean? Like, I understand during the regular season and in certain stretches of games, but there are certain situations where you just got to kind of give it to the Jimmys and the Joes, and it's not about the X's and the O's. And so I would say to Kyle Shanahan, same thing. Like, all that stuff works great in the 80-yard space from 20 to 20. Once you get into the red zone and it's third and three from the three, and you got to punch one in, I do want to isolate and create some space and just go matchups. I think that there's a time and a place for everything, and that's just a small little nitpick, just my personal opinion.
No, I agree with you, but I also look at it this way. Kyle is not really an ISO coach. He loves deception, and he likes people to miss. So I think if he possibly, like, maybe not running trips, but if he had people running crosses to get things open, he's really good at deception. He makes it look like something's going to happen somewhere else, and then the ball goes another way. So I think that's maybe where he's struggling with his red zone package. I think he needs to find a little thing where he could cause more deception down there. But I do agree with you, Shafty. They do need to button up down there, and they do have to be more efficient.
They're not good right now in the red zone. We'll get the red zone numbers up in just a second, but let's get to Manny on the Dumbarton Bridge. What's up, Manny?
Call, Will.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Before I go into what I want to say, I just want to emphasize with Brandon Ayuk. I remember when I played football and I forgot my uniform at home, I had to scrimmage through the Lawson family. Wound up going to practice wearing my dress belt and my dress shoes. Let's just say that practice extended into the sandbox doing bear crawls for a half hour after that. So, Brandon, be careful. But now, going on to my Niners. My Niner fans, my Niner team, they will always have my loyalty. The trust gets taxed sometimes. Now, I know we beat the Patriots, and we're all kumbaya, and we're all smiles. But I'm not going to be hee-hee just yet, because that's like going on Madden and changing the settings from pro to rookie. I want to see my Niners beat teams in dogfights like they let me down against the Rams and the Vikings. That's the team I want to see. I want to see the same energy the Niners brought yesterday throughout the season. I'm not saying win every game. I'm just saying play the way you played yesterday. And you will always be my Niners. That's all I got, fellas.
That's fair.
Keep the season going.
That's fair, Manny. That's fair. Look, we understand it's just the Patriots. Beggars can't be choosers. And you know what? That team had a long week, mini bye. They come out on that first drive. I don't know what they were doing on the third down nor the fourth down. It just didn't make any sense. And that's their problem. That's what they're doing. But win is a win. You win by 17. You cover the spread. A lot of gamblers are happy.
How many wins do the good teams get? 10, 11, 12?
Hey.
So you maybe get 10, 11, 12?
There's always going to be an ugly win.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it.
It's refreshing.
I'd much rather have that than, you know, dealing with another Rams loss like we did last week. And then, by the way, seeing the Rams lose to the Chicago Bears is like, oh, my God. How did we lose to that team? Like, honestly, ticks me off.
Well, they blew it. That's why. That's
ticks
how they lost.
Me
and,
off.
And this is how they lost on the final play, but I want you to focus in on Mark Sanchez in the
this
middle.
This was last week?
This was last week.
Okay.
Purdy, hook and ladder. Bell gives it off. Here comes Sauber.
Pitchy, pitchy, woo, woo.
Ayuk.
Uh-oh. I guess I missed that.
Yeah. Quincy, Quincy, woo-woo. I never heard anything like that, so I kept listening. I was like, what is he talking about? Here it is again.
What?
Purdy, hook and ladder. Bell gives it off. Here comes Sauber.
Pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo.
Ayuk.
Pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo.
What?
Hey, Mark Sanchez.
Sounds like something I'd say to LJ.
We were so angry last week, and I was like, man, I kind of want to get to the pitchy, pitchy, woo-woo. Like, what is that? Do they practice that? I've never heard of that before.
Did you guys see the play on third down that New England ran yesterday with the hook and ladder?
I did see that. That was excellent.
Wow, that was a great play.
Dallas tried that in the wild card game.
I know.
They tried that in the wild card game on, like, their first possession.
Look, I don't know what Jerod Mayo is going to end up being as a coach, but when they were, like, doing the first quarter kind of, like, montages where they have, like, the not prepackaged stuff, but the stuff that they know that they want to say about this team and what they're going to say about that team, they were talking about how Mayo built a staff of he wanted people from outside the building because he didn't want just New England influences, and he tried to get people from all over, and he wanted people who would question what they've been doing for the last 20 years. He just didn't want, he didn't want to have just a Belichick, you know, roster. And so when I saw that play, that specific play on third down, I was like, I like that play.
Yeah,
that's a nice play.
No, I don't, I don't know why more teams don't do it. More teams, some teams have tried it, but you know,
it's a risky play.
It's a risky play. But I remember seeing that against the Cowboys. The Cowboys did that against the Niners in a wild card game that I was down. I was like, wow, that's interesting. It was Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. Now they didn't get the first down on that play, but I was like, wow. That's creative.
It is creative. You know, the Brandon Ayuk thing, look, it's he's a really good player. He had a great season last year. I do think that the dialogue's going to be all year. It's like, he's just not going to live up to the money in year one. It's just not, it's probably not going to happen. And that's okay. It's a long season. I'm sure he'll have a bunch of good games at some point down the stretch. But this is just not a team playing a brand of football right now where he's going to throw up historic numbers. That's just not how, that's not how the offense works. That's not how they're dialed in right now. Like, again, they're struggling in the red zone against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, they're 8-16 overall in the red zone this year. 8-16 overall, 50%.
We're seeing way too much Jake Moody than we want.
Well, you know, fantasy purposes, I'm not mad at it. But hey, listen, no, seriously, 50% is not good. You got to cash in it, but that could be the CMC effect.
But it's also, they're not just that in the red zone. The other element on the offense that they showed on the broadcast, top of the league or near the top in yak, year after year after year. This year, not.
Not at all. Not even close to it.
I think they were 29th or 30th. Mm-hmm. And so, like, those are very telling stats.
Right now, the Niners are middle of the pack when it comes to red zone efficiency. Right now, the number one team is Cleveland, crying out loud, but they never get to the red zone.
They've been there one time. They scored once.
Right. Baltimore is 6th overall. Baltimore starting to, they fumbled yesterday at the goal line. They're getting better and better and better. They've outrushed their opponents by 100 yards every single game. The Baltimore Ravens. They stabilize things, and they're about to go on a roll here. Now, with that said, they could lose to Cincinnati next week. Who knows? But the Niners, they definitely have to fix their red zone problems. They definitely have to fix, I mean, 50%. It's just not good. Now, I'm looking at last year. Last year, 2023, they were at 68% conversion when it came to red zone efficiency. So 68% of the time they score touchdowns. This year, 8-16, just 50%. And that could be directly correlated to Christian McCaffrey not playing, Brandon Ayuk not being in shape, George Kittle missing a game, Debo Samuel missing a game, but they got to fix this.
They did another on second down, the first trip into the red zone. They did another left side, you know, where Purdy scrambles to the left side, and there's really only one or two routes he can throw to. These short field, like, design
rollouts. Oh, when they do the design rollouts to the field.
To the opposite throw.
They cut half the field.
And it's just a tough throw to throw across your body. Yeah. I don't know. I don't love those calls.
I don't love them.
I think they're easy to dissect after the fact. But in real time, I didn't love those calls
either. I never love those calls. You're taking away half the field.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're already helping the defense out. They only got to cover half the field.
Yeah, and they're very predictable with the first down runs. Like right now, they run the ball a lot on first down, which is fine. And they throw the ball on second and short a lot. They're doing a great job of that. But like in the red zone, it something's up. They got to kind of shore it up.
By the way, is Jordan Mason, has he spoke to the media since week one?
Don't care. He's playing like an absolute monster.
I understand that, which is why I want to hear more from him.
He's got more explosive runs than anybody in the league right now. And I mean, the guy's on fire.
He's on fire. But we haven't heard from him. I would like to hear from him. He's one of the leading rushers in the NFL. Go ahead, Lubin.
Oh, I was going to say, it's time to qualify someone to win a jersey. So that's going on right now.
Wait, what kind of jersey?
Hold on, let me bring up the read, because I guess I'm going to do the read.
See, that's
here.
Why you should just let me handle this.
So, okay, it is time. Be the 10th caller on the contest line at 415-523-4652. Again, that's 415-523-4652. And 10th caller will win a jersey presented by Habas Law, because Habas Law always puts people in the best position to win.
That is like an NBA player forcing a shot. He knows he's going to get pulled from the game. He's like, oh, I'm just going to hoist one up. That's like Brock Purdy forcing a pass into double coverage in the red zone. You're forced to touch there, Lubman. You got so much mic time on Saturday that you're itching, and you fumbled.
They've got powder for that.
I think you asked your recoveries are fumble, though. Your recoveries are fumble.
Unlimited possibilities.
Be the tip caller to win a jersey.
There were a couple of exchanges between Purdy and Mason that they got to clean up. I mean, there's little things that they have to clean up. There's no doubt about it. But a win's a win's a win. And they needed to get right. Now they're 2-2 after four weeks. And you got these four-week schedule, ahead of them, where you got Cardinals, short week Seattle, Cowboys, Chiefs. Can you go another 2-2? To your point a couple weeks back, 4-4 feels... like,
going into the bye week?
Yeah.
But now I think you get greedy.
No, I mean, I would love to be 5-3, four is not out of the realm, and I'm okay with that.
3-1 would be nice. This Chiefs team is, their defense is still playing at a high level.
It's
but
Mahomes. Don't do it. Just don't.
If you can't beat the Chiefs this time around,
just hype
you
up
may
Mahomes.
Never.
No, just what you are you
never,
doing?
You
just
may
stop.
Never beat them. You got to beat the Chiefs at Levi's Stadium. You got it.
Let's see where
that's
we're
a game
at.
The Niners
let's see
have to
where
win.
We're at.
Let's see, yeah, let's,
what if Warner doesn't play?
Yeah, if Warner's okay, back, I mean, come well, on. If Warner doesn't play, then you might be limping into that game.
Speaking of limping, did you see who was on the sidelines?
Who?
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, I did see that. He was sitting down. He was chilling. Ice and chilling.
Yeah,
now, back what's from the big
Germany.
Uproar? What, like, I saw some stuff online. I don't know what was going on, but it was like, oh, I see McCaffrey. I don't know if he's coming back.
Well, Mayoko finally said it. Like, it's double Achilles tendonitis. Not just one, it's both.
It's both Achilles, right?
Yeah. What? Why are you pointing at me?
Oh,
why are you
man.
Pointing at me, Bonte?
Oh, man. Mayoko really said that? He put
he
it out there?
He said both Achilles?
He said both Achilles, right?
On the podcast. What? Yeah, why
he
are
said
you looking
both
at
both of them?
It's, so he said that he had a specific medical term, and then he goes, for those that don't know what the medical term means, it means both Achilles. And I was like, both?
So that got out.
It's not one, it's both?
So that got out.
He put it out there. It was on the podcast with him and Jennifer Lee Chan.
Okay.
That is out. It is now for public consumption.
Wow, it's out. It's out.
What's the name of their podcast?
49ers Talk Podcast.
Thank you.
So.
Which I listen to and it's excellent.
No, it is excellent.
It's almost as good as Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys.
So I'm looking.
Me and Sam Lubman subscribe because you never know what might happen in Giants world.
Yeah, well, Farhan.
Heard something might happen today.
Farhan might be gone.
Farhan.
Why are you excited that I brought up the Christian McCaffrey thing? But I didn't bring it up. Mayoko brought it up.
Yeah, no, because I'm looking here.
You, like, pointed at me and then went ear-to-ear
well,
smile.
Well, I'm surprised that got leaked out. I'm very, very surprised I got leaked out because I'm looking here at my text. I'm looking here in September 15th. I got a text that said they were worried that it was both Achilles.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I said, no, and true story. I wouldn't, I wouldn't play you like that. And I was like, damn, if that gets out, people are going to freak out. It's both Achilles? And so now that Mayekles put it out there, I guess I'm okay to say that, yeah, I heard it was both Achilles a few weeks ago. And that's why I kind of say things and you pick up on it later, but. When I mention that, hey, if we get anything from Christian McCaffrey, it'll be a bonus in my mind. I'm not expecting much because I was privy to that information that it was both Achilles. So that's why I was saying, hey, it's a bonus if we get anything. And so it's out there, and he's got both Achilles. I just, is it even smart to play the guy?
Is he going to get all of a sudden, like 6 months from now, all of a sudden he's magically healthy? Like,
I mean, I don't know what you can do.
I don't think there is a right or wrong way to handle this. Like, okay, he could be entirely, you know, you sit him out the whole year and he comes back next year and he could tear one or both. You could rush him back and he doesn't re-injure it. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. How would I know what the proper thing to do is? Honestly, I feel like if they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. I don't think there is a right way to handle the CMC injury. I will say this, though. And I saw, Lovey, you got to worry about Mason's touches. And honestly, guys, I'm just going year to year. I'm not trying to be cruel to Jordan Mason, but like this is his opportunity to prove he's the man. And I'll worry about next year. And I'll worry about whoever's behind him after that. Because right now I don't trust Isaac Arendo. Would I elevate Matt Breida? I would have done that 2 weeks ago. Would I try to make a trade for another running back? I probably would. Because I don't have anyone on the roster that I trust right now. It's literally Jordan Mason juice. Like, in that order. I guess Debo, if you consider him a running back to a degree. But quite frankly, just Jordan Mason, just please try to stay healthy. I'm just going to hand you the ball as much as I can. I mean, they're up 3 scores yesterday, and they're handing them the ball in the final 2 drives.
Well, you guys know where.
There's no one to go to.
Well, you guys know where I was at last year with Christian McCaffrey. Everybody's begging for other touch. I said, I got to play C-Mac. He's my best player. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you had Jordan Mason behind
CMC last year. But he obviously wasn't ready. Obviously wasn't ready. The coaches didn't play him.
All of a sudden, magically, he's ready now?
Well, you need it all season. You have the jugs machine. You train. You get better.
I mean, like,
you get better, but it's hard to do that in season.
Look, a couple of carries here and there. I don't know.
It's obviously a jugs machine, but I think we're overreacting. Go ahead.
Just real quick, just to tie this whole thing, this McCaffrey timeline together, rap sheet, Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, yesterday, his latest is that the 49ers expect to have Christian McCaffrey back, quote, at least by early November. So that was Ian Rapoport yesterday. Again, take that for what it's worth. If we're dealing with double Achilles tendonitis, maybe not. But early November is the latest from Rap Sheet yesterday via NFL Network.
So September 13th.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 would be November 1st weekend. 10 weeks. 11 would be the 9th.
So September 13th.
That'd be 11 weeks off.
I'm looking at September 13th. Sounds like CMC may be out for a while.
What is this, a text message?
Text message, okay. September 13th. Sounds like CMC may be out for a while. Hearing that they are worried about both Achilles, damn. I was like, oh, both Achilles? That's what I said. I was like, you sure
number
about
two.
This? I was like, oh, I'm just going to say, in my brain, I said, you know what? I'm going to delete that information. I'm not even going to worry about it. Maybe it's just one Achilles. Matt Maiocco really said that on the podcast, and it was both. That's what now it's out for public
But he had, a medical term that he stopped and said, I forget what it is. Basically, he's like, that means it's in Achilles tendonitis in both legs. That's literally how he said
that.
I was like, whoa.
Well,
I'm out.
I thought, I knew I couldn't tell you that. When I got it, I was like, trust me, I wanted to tell you. And I was like, I can't tell Shasky that because he's going to freak out. And who knows? Who knows if that can't get out? Not that it's out. We expect anything from him?
I mean, how can you? And I don't think there's a right or a wrong person in this situation. If the guy wants to play, I think that he's a football player. I think you play him. Like, I understand there's money that's invested into him. I understand the severity of where this season is going and how badly everyone wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, he could tear it immediately. He could not tear it. He could tear it next year. Like, I don't think there's a right or a wrong way. I honestly don't. And I'm not going to, like, crush anyone, CMC, the Niners, or whatever. How he feels is how he feels. And I think this is just I honestly believe it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And on the bright side, the silver lining is, you found out, Jordan Mason is an absolute beast.
Obviously, he wasn't ahead of Eli Mitchell last year and Christian McCaffrey. And I don't know what was happening in practice. But obviously, look, I'm going to trust Shanahan in this situation. I know we all go crazy over this guy getting a touch and this guy not getting a touch and whether or not this guy's a good football player. Coaches have their favorites, and it's what they do. But Elijah Mitchell obviously was ahead of Jordan Mason last year, and he got touches in some garbage time games with Christian McCaffrey. Now, Jordan Mason, again, we said he was on pace for over 408 carries. He had another 24 yesterday. But that's all you got. To your point, that's all you got. You can't play Isaac Arendo. I don't know if Keyshawn Vaughn is ready to roll. Obviously, Patrick Taylor Jr. is not ready to roll. Maybe they have to find a running back on the street. Where's Matt Breida at? And maybe you may see a running back sign here tomorrow. It's an off day for the 49ers. Now the coaches are in there cracking the film, and they're going to recap everything from the Patriots game. But tomorrow's basically the day in the NFL where guys fly in. They have open workouts to see if you can make the practice squad, or maybe you fill in here and there. It would not shock me to see the 49ers bring in another running back tomorrow to go work out and maybe sign him, because Isaac Grendel's probably in that doghouse right now. He's not touching the field for a long time.
I mean,
when you fumble and you're a rookie under Coach Kyle Shanahan, yeah, it's not good for you.
Well, and it's very predictable when he comes out in the – he had the one carry that I can remember. And it's like when he comes out onto the field, it's so obvious that he's getting an automatic carry. They don't run play action. They don't throw the ball. It's just like, oh, here you go. Here's your carry. And, like, the whole field knows that he's getting the ball. So it's very predictable. Bonte, what do you say to the people that are like, well, Debo's your second running back?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Why?
I want Debo just playing wide receiver, because this is a guy who's had a lot of wear and tear. Obviously, the shoulders got banged up last year. Now you're asking him to play running back and slam into linebackers and outside linebackers and everything. I don't like it. I've never really been a fan of it. I know it worked because Jimmy was compromised, but that was 2021. I don't like Debo playing running back, Shasky.
So on second drive, after a Purdy scramble, he gets the first down. Pooney comes back into the game, and they do like this little handoff to Debo, and he gets a nice little like gain, 8 yards, but he gets blasted by Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, he got cracked.
Just absolutely blasted, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I love that.
Yeah, I don't love Debo playing running back. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
But I feel like Shanahan thinks he's there. Well, he's the second running back.
Well, here's the deal.
I'm trying to think what Shanahan's thinking. Yeah, no, I don't Shanahan, know if I like it either. Well, I don't
no,
know.
No. You know what Shanahan's thinking? I can't trust Isaac Arendo. I can't trust Patrick Taylor Jr., so I'm going to put the ball in somebody's hands that I do trust. And obviously, Shanahan has a lot of trust in Debo Samuel. Now, I'm just kind of mind blown that the Achilles thing got out. Two Achilles, like.
What about, is there any way that Elijah Mitchell could come back off IR? No, or is
he's on season ending.
So
yeah.
It's season ending. There's no, because I thought there was like one or two guys that you could designate to return off the season ending thing. I guess there's no way.
Now on the Comcast Business Text Line, Chicago Jason, what's up, Chicago Jason? Pass protection is still a concern. Purdy should not be having to make off schedule plays so many times during the game. And Greg Olson mentioned that after halftime. He actually had a very astute point about how Purdy was playing. And he goes, look, man, this is all fine to see Purdy make these Superman-type plays and highlight real plays, but you can't live off of those. You have to get protection. These guys have to protect them. The offensive line is definitely still a concern in pass protection. When teams heat up the quarterback, when they blitz and they come after him, they get home a lot on the 49ers, man. They've got to do something to shore up this pass protection. It's not good enough. It's just not. And Greg Olson was right on he was right on it. Maybe we pull it for tomorrow, and I'll figure it out where it was. I'll watch the game over and mark it. But when he was talking, he was discussing it, saying Purdy can't live off of this.
Here's what they called it. 602 is texting in. Bilateral Achilles. That's what he said. That was the term that he said. And then after saying that, like, I had never heard that term, so I'm not pretending like I know. I'm just saying, like, Mayoko says it on the podcast that I was listening to last night. Bilateral Achilles. And then goes, that means that there's tendonitis in both Achilles.
Yeah.
Is that correct? You got thumbs up on that?
Correct.
I had never heard that. You ever heard that?
No, I never heard that, but I'm surprised that it got leaked. I'm very surprised. Because I'll show you the text during the break. I was like, oh, boy. And I started thinking about everybody. I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. So this injury's coming out. So the way I play it, and you guys will figure this out, and hopefully you have, but I basically said, look, man, it's going to be to me, you looked at me crazy when I said, if Chris McCaffrey gives us anything, it's going to be a bonus.
Have you ever seen Monty Python?
No.
You've never seen Monty Python?
No, which...
You've seen Monty Python, right?
Well, Monty Python is a group of British comedians from way back when. Right. There's Monty Python and the Holy Grail, The Life of Brian. But there's a group called Monty Python, famous British...
The Life of Brian. They've got all these different... Yeah. Anyway, so point being...
Music, not,
it's like 70s, 80s. Like, I don't even know. But anyway, there's The Black Knight where he comes up on this guy. It's basically like a Robin Hood meets the Holy Grail, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, King Arthur, Sword in the Stone type of thing. And he chops off both arms of the knight, and then he chops off both legs, and he's like, "'Tis but a flesh wound." And that's what I feel like McCaffrey is basically dealing with right now. He's got, I mean, no legs, no arms, and he's like, "Yeah, it's just a flesh wound. I'll be back in November."
I am shocked that got out. I am shocked.
"'Tis but a scratch."
I am shocked. I am shocked.
The knights who say knee.
So now if you're a fan out there listening, and you hear that on a 49ers Talk podcast with Matt Maiocco and Jennifer Lee Chan, NBC Sports Bay Area. How could you expect it? For, like, this seems, I don't know, man. How is he going to cut, start, and stop?
Well, I'll say, I don't think he's playing this year.
Yeah, my Achilles flares up every other day, and it feels like the other day I woke up limping. I was like, damn, this thing, boy, whoa.
You might need to get one of those shoes like the Penguin has. I fell asleep on that episode
yesterday. Please don't tell me. But
I'm not going to say.
Sounds like a great season.
Have you watched it yet?
Well, he said he fell asleep. So it's
It was late. When it gets around 10 o'clock, I like start fading. I fade
10 for you. It's like 7:30 for me.
Right? I'm in bed at 7. I got the.
You're not in bed at 7.
Yeah, it was yesterday. I got the Bills on, and then I got the little iPad. I lie down. Yeah, you got to lie down. I fell asleep on the couch, actually.
That's not good.
Right after the Niner game.
It's not good.
Well, it was me and the little guy. You know, we were chilling.
There you go. 888-957-9570 is the number. Mark Linville is our contest winner. Shout out to Mark Linville. Where's Mark Linville from, Lovin?
He is from San Ramon.
Okay, nice. There it is. Thank you, Lovin. Good job with the contest.
Yay!
We had a great time at Friedman's on Saturday.
I could tell.
Fall clearance sales event. It was a great time.
Here's what Shanahan said about Fred Warner's injury.
Andy, have the severity yet?
I don't. I know Fred tried to go, came out in third quarter and tried to go, but didn't feel like he could.
Sprain?
Sprain. They're not saying anything.
Turned? Like
they're not saying anything.
Huh.
They're not saying anything.
I mean, if he can't go for a couple of weeks, we're in some deep waters.
Yeah.
Devondre Campbell was getting picked apart again yesterday.
He's not.
D Winters showed a little bit. I like what I saw from D Winters, but he's very young. You know, you see some of the young players like Malik Mustafa in open space, they just get a little too aggressive.
They don't have Fred Warner.
They're in some deep.
Yeah, Trey McBride's coming next week.
Who else is a DPOY candidate besides Fred right now?
Right now? TJ Watt there? TJ Watt's always in the conversation, it feels like. Defensively?
That guy for Baltimore, 99, Ome, or Owa, Owe, whatever.
Aiden Hutchinson, 6.5
Aiden Hutchinson. He had like 4-1 game, though.
Yeah, but people look at that.
No, that's true.
And they have a big game tonight, Monday Night Football, a lot of eyeballs on him.
That's a very good point.
I just think that Fred's at a short list.
No, he is on the short list. He is on the short
list. He's made game-changing plays.
Xavier McKinney has 4 interceptions, too.
Xavier McKinney? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Good signing.
Wow. Anybody in the Bucs, they were blitzing Jalen Hurts over and over yesterday. By the way, some great news when it comes to Cal Berkeley. Not only is College Game Day going to be there this Saturday, Dave Fleming will be on the call Saturday for Cal and Miami.
Young Nash is flying in.
Everybody says they're going to be there. Guru says they're going to be there. Loveman's going to be there.
Guru?
Bob Melvin said he might even try and go to that game.
Will he?
Oh, really?
Kid you not.
Well,
he might have the time to do it. Definitely has time, even more so.
Easy.
I think I'm just.
Is something going to happen with the Giants today, Loveman?
Possibly.
Unlimited possibilities.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't. I just know.
Is it going to happen?
I don't know. I really don't know. We're all in a wait and see.
God,
right
I
now.
Hope Farhan's staying.
Here's what I'm
saying. You know what? Businessman Bonte. Businessman Bonte.
I don't know if that's actually good for businessman Bonte if Farhan stays.
No.
We need something to talk about during the summer, Bonte.
I know how to pivot. Businessman Bonte was thinking last night, said, Farhan does come back. This is very compelling. Oh, my gosh.
What's compelling?
He comes back for one more year, and these youngsters actually start to ball out, and the Giants make the playoffs next year. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, you mean it was patience with Farhan? Farhan being back ain't the worst business. Ain't the worst thing for business. I'll tell you that right now.
I've had enough.
As
a fan, Fonte. I get it. As a fan, you're distraught. But for business, Fidelity knows what I'm talking about here. For sports radio purposes, what's been the most compelling thing about the Giants the last 3 years? Farhan Zaidi.
So much time talking about him this summer. Did you watch Hayden Birdsong? Hayden Birdsong's been way more compelling than anything that Farhan's done. Dude, did you see him over the weekend?
Come on, man.
The guy's a stud.
Come on, man. The most compelling thing in sports talk radio about the San Francisco Giants over the last 3 years has been Farhan Zaidi.
Elliot Ramos?
Hasn't even been close. We talked about Elliot Ramos one time after the All-Star break.
Blake Snell's 20 starts.
Most compelling thing, last 3 years. I don't even think it's been close.
Guarantee if Farhan's back next year, you are checked out on the Giants by May.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm actually excited about the Giants. I watch basically most games. In the last couple of weeks, I've been falling off the Giants. Some meaningless baseball. Did not watch a pitch this weekend for what? We had college football. We had high school football. We had everything.
Baby blue jerseys for the Cardinals. Yeah, great turnout by the fans over the weekend.
Good for them.
Fan appreciation weekend. Yay. Giants fans care.
Yay. The most compelling thing on sports talk radio about the Giants the last 3 years has been Farhan Zaidi, and it hasn't even been close. I don't think it's been close.
How about Blake Snell saying I'm not going to make that last start of the year. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Smart.
It's very smart.
That was a hell of a $33 million to spend on 20 starts, and I think 13 of them were really good.
Get more bang for their buck for $30 million. The Giants with Blake Snell or the 49ers with Brandon
Ayuk. Don't go ripping Blake Snell when he carried his pitching staff in the second half of the season. That's not right. Pitched like a Cy Young Award winner.
He had 13 great starts. I'll give you that. 13 great ones.
Amazing. Great.
$33 million for 13 starts.
13 great starts.
What was his ERA?
I'm not saying he wasn't great in those 13 starts. We're saying bang for the buck.
You will be begging to have him back. So stop. Don't start ripping Blake Snell.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not ripping Blake Snell.
Who would you rather have $30 million for, Snell or Ayuk?
Both.
Well, that's not the question. It's either or.
You've got to pick.
Both.
I don't think you understand what he's either.
I actually think I'm taking Snell. Because when I know when he's on, you got the top dude at the position in the sport at left-handed starters. Yeah.
I agree. I'd also take Blake Snell because I actually like Blake Snell.
No. Now you like Blake Snell?
After what ripping did I say? I did like million? Blake Snell.
After ripping him for 30
no,
million?
No, don't.
I'm not scared.
Don't let your fandom
don't
get in the way.
Words into his
don't
mouth.
Let your fandom
you,
get in the way. The fandom
I never
has
said
to sit
I didn't like Blake
table.
Snell, all right?
You don't want to be at the kitty table talking about
this
stuff.
Don't be putting words in my mouth. I'm not Mark Willard.
No. Don't be ripping. The most compelling thing. Spadoni, what's been the most compelling? You're an A's fan. What's been the most compelling thing about the Giants in the last 3 years?
Well, Brandon Belt coming out with the captain hat was pretty cool on opening day.
Stop. Love it started to piss me off.
No, but it's probably been Farhan's eye. But it's compelling in a way that it's just fun to just see the fan base slowly turning on him to the point where it's just all 99. Like, is there anyone?
Yes.
Anyone still on the Farhan?
McCovey Chronicles.
Oh, God.
Yes, there are definitely still pro Farhans.
The top 1/10 of 1%. Shout out Bernie Sanders.
It's just, there are a few out there, and I'm just like, you guys are morons. I don't even know what to say.
We're still going
to
be monitoring that, by the way, 95.7 The Game, because we got Warriors Media Day today. We got if anything happens with the Giants, we'll obviously discuss it. Niners are the big story, but if anything happens, just letting all the listeners out there, we will discuss it.
Who's waiting and Bonte or Gabe Kapler?
We got some breaking news, man. Like, on a serious note, on a very serious note, this is sad.
Should I hit the sounder?
You can. I mean, we got a lot of basketball fans here, but
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
One of the great ambassadors, one of the great men when it comes to representing this country and representing this community, Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. You talk about one of the good guys in the NBA, coming where he came from and what he did for his country, what he did in Africa, building hospitals, schools. Now you got NBA Africa. Dikembe Mutombo at the age of 58, one of my favorite players, dies due to brain cancer, and just a hell of a guy. Hell of a guy. Damn.
I think about him holding that ball in that first round knockoff where he's just grabbing it. I mean, jeez, man. Terrible.
No. The great clip with Jordan at the All-Star game. Mike, you never dunk on me, man. Go get Scotty. Go, ball boy, go get Scotty. And Patrick Ewing's like, yo, Dikembe, he never dunked it? No, never, never. Jordan goes, really? And then later on that season, Jordan dunks on him and hits him with the no, 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 the finger wag. Damn, man. 58 that's 58
is just way too young.
Yeah, way too young. He dies due to brain cancer. I know he was sick before, so, man, that stinks. That really, really stinks, man. Wow. All right, with that said, let's get to the injury.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
We mentioned Fred Warner forced to miss the second half of the win yesterday over the Patriots with an ankle injury. Warner pled his case to take the field, but was overruled by Kyle Shanahan. He'll undergo an MRI today to determine the severity of the injury. That is the injury report brought to you by Boxing Girls in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls coming up on the other side, 888-957-9570. Let's discuss Brock's day. How about Jordan Mason, Fred Warner? What you like? What you didn't like? Are you fired up? Because I threw a YouTube poll up, Shasky, yesterday on Twitter, and it wasn't surprising because I kind of felt like this. I'm not going to lie. I kind of felt like this too. But I asked people, Niner fans, how are you feeling after the win? Great. Got the dub? B, meh, it's the Pats. C, happy but concerned. Over 1,100 votes, 43% said, meh, it's the Pats. 29% said, great, got the dub. 28% said, happy but concerned. Well, if you're happy and concerned, I want to hear from you. What are you concerned about? It's all coming up here on a roast.